Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's.
In reporting on the Catholic Church, do you think the media get it right, or is there an inherent bias?
Many in the secular media look for any opportunity they can to beat up on the Catholic Church and its traditions.
They don't know the difference between born again and born yesterday.
Taking a look at the world from a Catholic perspective. From our studio in Pensacola, you're listening to What It Means to Be Catholic with your host, Father Michael Nixon.
And welcome to What It Means to Be Catholic. I'm your host, Father Michael Nixon. And we are very happy to be joined today by Father John Licari, a very good friend of mine and a priest of this diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Father John. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm great. Doing good. Great to be here.
Very, very good to have you with us today. And today we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, especially just about Father John and the gifts that he brings, tremendous gift he is to the priesthood of this diocese, and also his music, his ministry through music. I think we want to begin our show today, obviously, with acknowledging the tragedy that just our country was rocked by yesterday with the bombs that went off at the Boston Marathon. Definitely want to be praying for them. I think, Father Licari, you wanted to say something about that, too?
Yeah, I just, as we remember all who experienced this in prayer, to be mindful of the young. And to not lose hope in the challenges that they face and we face in a society, in a world that where many people decide to use violence as a means to get peace or to get another goal done, and for the young not to be live in fear, but to live in hope and to stay close to Christ, to find that hope and that encouragement and empowerment to be leaders and witnesses of the gospel, to be leaders against the powers of darkness that are present in the world today.
Absolutely. I was struck by the message Pope Francis did send a message today to the victims in Boston, and Cardinal Sean O'Malley as well had a beautiful message. And again, our response as Christians in the midst of violence, in the midst of just that terror that other people want to use against us, to love even there. And I'm struck by the reading this morning. And throughout the Easter season, we in the church are hearing from the Acts of the Apostles at each of the liturgies. And this morning, the reading was St. Stephen, where St. Stephen is gives that amazing testimony, that Christ-like testimony, where he's being violently attacked and killed, and he forgives his persecutors. And I'm often struck that by the power of that forgiveness, by the power of that forgiveness that he shows, that is so incredibly Christ-like. Father, do not hold this sin against him. That Saul, who was there, mm-hmm. who approves, oh, yeah. You know, that might have been the power, the force that was needed for him to convert.
Yeah, a seed was definitely planted, you know, because we know Saul becomes who he becomes later on, you know. And so we have to see this in the life, the times that we live in today, that we're able to plant seeds even as tragedies happen, that we can communicate that even with these things, we must use them to learn how to forgive, learn how to learn about other people's and their viewpoints, so we can come to conclusions that aren't violent. Not easy to do.
No, not at all. Not at all. And again, this is What It Means to Be Catholic. I'm Father Michael Nixon, your host, joined by Father John Licari, a good friend of mine, a great priest of this diocese. And you can call us if you have any questions today for Father Licari. You want him to sing your favorite song? You can call us at 877-770-7955. Again, that's 877-770-7955. Or you can email us, and our email address is questions@catholicradio.us. So, Father Licari, again, it is so good to have you here on the show.
Give me five.
That is a live five on the radio right there. I can speak for myself. Back when before I was a priest, before I was even a seminarian, I got to know Father John Licari, and I've just always been so impressed by you and so moved by your witness and your testimony and your gifts. You're a very, very gifted musician, and we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show about your CD that's just been released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I come from a family that's musical on both sides, both my mother's side and my father's side. And when I was growing up, so I was around lots of different kinds of music, the music from the 40s and 50s, the musicals, the current rock and roll of the time. I had cousins older than me, so they were listening to Elvis, and I wasn't really listening too much at that time to that, but I got hooked. And then February in 1964, on the Ed Sullivan Show, the Beatles came, and that kind of got my attention big time. So I wanted to.
Now, did you actually see that?
I saw it broadcast as it happened. Oh yeah, we were there.
That's one. You know, my dad. I remember seeing that, and he remembers saying, "They'll never last." That was my dad's response to the Beatles. My dad, with his prophetic utterance.
Oh yeah,
and his keen insights into the music industry. That's what he said.
Well, he must have been related to my relatives because they were all saying that. And they were saying, "Look at that hair," you know. But then, time proved otherwise, and what I was really interested in was the fact that these guys wrote their music. And my grandfather was a songwriter, unpublished, and my great-grandfather, we're a family of writers, mostly unpublished. And so my influences in music I was pulled into people that wrote their own stuff. So absolutely. Paul Simon in 65, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. Who else back then? Oh, and I was influenced by Stevie Wonder. Anyone who wrote lyrics that took me in, Bob Dylan, though I was late, it wasn't until the 70s when I really appreciated his work. And I found that I could also write at a young age. I started writing when I was 12 years old.
Absolutely. Now, how much of a connection was there between your faith, I mean, growing up in a Catholic family, your faith and music? Because so often we can see, you know, secular music as being this great divide or even antithetical to faith. I mean, for you growing up, was that something you struggled with, or was there a natural connection between the two for you?
There was a natural connection all the time because my mother sings, and she was singing in church, and she's a great soloist. She still sings today when she feels her voice is well enough to do so. So again, that was another part of the variety of music I was being brought up with, music from church and the Latin hymns, the beautiful harmonies of the Latin songs at the time. In the early 60s, I remember them, you know, very much. Beautiful stuff. And I never saw rock and roll as, or never was promulgated, the right word is like, this is the devil's music, you shouldn't listen to this. I had to eventually weed it out, because certainly some of the music that I was listening to and started to listen to as it became more about darker themes, occasionally my parents would step in and say, I don't want that in the house or something, and I would kind of sneak it in anyway, you know, as children do. But they gave me some guidance, but I didn't appreciate that guidance till much, much later.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for us to be able to recognize what's going on in the world, what's going on in art and culture and society, that even if it's not overtly Christian, that's still the hunger, the desire that's there. And you mentioned great songwriters, you know, Stevie Wonder or Paul Simon.
That
they can speak to that hunger. That's a great starting point, even, you know, now in our ministry as priests or just as living our faith, it's a great starting point for evangelization, that we can speak to that hunger, speak to that desire that every person has.
Absolutely. And these songwriters of what we, it's on, to say, to use the term, I guess, secular writing, well, I'll just say that these writers of the time that were having hits and pop songs, and those who were writing about universal themes, were really philosophers with guitars. And you had to, if you were raised in a Christian family, you had to sense, and you could sense, if they were going down a path that's kind of dark. But, you know, if you weren't careful, and I wasn't for many years, that stuff starts to influence you. And before you know it, you've ingested a philosophy, and you've made this artist or this music your religion.
Absolutely.
And that's a dangerous thing that happens. We take our focus off Christ, as I did for several years, actually, and made music the God, and made the electric philosophers be the gospel instead of the actual gospel. I had to do a turnaround, which I eventually did.
Definitely. Now, so with that, for you, you were had a career in music, and can you describe that progress to get to the point where you are now as a Catholic priest? Again, people, when they see priests, they think we've always been priests, and you know, we came out of the womb as priests.
I tell exactly. I tell not only my parishioners at St. Anne's, but any church I preach at, that I wasn't born in a pew. You know, this collar doesn't mean I was born in a pew and here it was. No, I had to go on a journey. In fact, my journey resembles more of St. Augustine than St. Therese. You know. And so I started in music very young. In sixth grade, I was already in a little band. We were too young to play clubs, but I was writing then, and we called ourselves Blues Depression. Now, at sixth grade, what did we know about either? But we liked
it's kind of a double negative there, isn't it? Blues Depression.
We were pretty, yeah, you know, and we liked the blues. We learned it through the Brits that came over to America, and the Rolling Stones were playing blues songs by American artists that we hadn't listened to, that our radio stations weren't playing,
right,
for the most part. And then of course the Beatles. I moved down to Florida, Pensacola, in 1967, and continued finding another band. I went to Catholic High. Graduated in 72. My uncle, Father John LeCarrie, who was the priest of this diocese since 1952, he taught there for 19 years and mysteriously stopped teaching right when he would have had me as a senior. I often wondered.
It was a sane move on his part.
I think
maybe.
It was. Looking at pictures of me with hair down to my shoulders, he probably said, I don't know what's going on here. But, you know, I had to find my way. I had wonderful teachers and wonderful guidance, but I was really listening to the music was taking first seat. And the band I was in, Lyman Slack, we progressed and opened up concerts for Leonard Skinner, REO Speedwagon, Ted Nugent. We didn't go on tour with them. We opened up when they came to town. So that was a great experience for young guys wanting to further their career. But we never really recorded anything or got anywhere, any national success. I left the band. I really wanted to get away from. I was getting tired of that kind of. There was a lifestyle that was not very healthy, and I wanted to move away from that. And started playing as a soloist, a most multi-instrumentalist, so I could play guitar, piano, and harmonica. And I worked locally in Pensacola, moved up to Atlanta, lived up there 6 years, and that's where I experienced a conversion experience. And I will thank Fulton J. Sheen for that.
Oh, wow, absolutely. Of course, the famous Archbishop Fulton Sheen, one of the great preachers of the 20th century, someone who, again, you know, we talk about new evangelization so often. I think Archbishop Fulton Sheen was doing the new evangelization before the new evangelization was cool. And, you know, I mean, again, this understanding of through radio, through television, through any means necessary to preach the gospel, such a dynamism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, we'll talk more about that.
So with that, again, we're going to take a break here, but we'll be back with Father John LeCarrie to talk about his conversion, his ordination to the priesthood, and to God's grace at work in each one of our lives. Stay with us.
Divine Word Radio is happy to have the support of Factory Service. Factory Service is the area's factory-authorized company for installation and service of high-end appliances, including Sub-Zero Wolf, Melee, and Viking appliances. Joe McGovern has been in the trade since 1988 and operates under the slogan, "When you have the best, call the best." For more information about Factory Service, you can call Joe at 850-474-6553. That's Factory Service at 474-6553.
Living His Life Abundantly International presents Women of Grace Live with John Edvankovic and Father Edmund Sylvia.
Patty calling us from Scranton, Pennsylvania this morning. We do welcome your call so that we can have holy conversation with you.
This is the place for Women of Grace.
10 to 11 Central weekdays on Divine Word Radio.
Pro-abortion activists say that since there's no consensus on abortion, we shouldn't legislate against it. But an absence of consensus doesn't translate into an absence of truth. And the truth we're talking about is a human life. Truth and sound reason aren't subject to consensus or to polls. And when applied to the abortion debate, truth and sound reason favors life for the unborn child every time.
This has been a perspective on life from Georgia Right to Life. Visit us at grtl.org.
Divine Word Radio is proud to receive the support of Furman & Furman, attorneys with over 50 years of combined legal experience representing criminal law, personal injury, and adoption clients in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Furman & Furman are committed to personal service, and they answer their own phones. Their offices are located on 201 East Government Street in Pensacola and 1703 Main Street in Daphne, Alabama. Their numbers are 850-429-7431 or 251-228-1744.
taking a look at the world from a Catholic perspective. From our studio in Pensacola, you're listening to What It Means to Be Catholic with your host, Father Michael Nixon.
And welcome back to What It Means to Be Catholic. I'm your host, Father Michael Nixon, joined by my good friend and a saintly man of God and former rock and roll star and current rock and roll star, Father John LeCary, a pastor at St. Anne's Parish here in Pensacola. And it's great to have you on the show, Father John. Yeah. Before the break, we were just talking about your journey through kind of the religion of rock and roll music, so to speak, and again, how that unfolded in a conversion and eventually into the priesthood.
Yeah, when we left off, I was talking about the kind of dark road I went down and living my life according to what I felt I wanted to do. And so I had stopped practicing the faith. It wasn't a conscious decision. It's just that music took precedence, even in my relationship with, even with girls, with women. It was like the music first, relationship second. I was pretty much self-centered, not egotistical way, but another type of pride. And what broke that shell was as I was feeling really empty inside, and I was lacking peace and I was not really a happy guy. And I came home from visit from Atlanta, where I was living at the time, and my parents' house was a book by Fulton Sheen called Peace of Soul. And I opened the book up, and I'm going to quote from the book. It's this first sentence which opens the book up, and he wrote, "Unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. There can be no world peace unless there is soul peace. World wars are only projections of the conflicts waged inside the souls of modern men, for nothing happens in the external world that has not first happened within the soul." Now, when I read this, somehow this really hit my heart, and I thought I couldn't put the book down. And the book came out in 1949, and the message is as timely as ever, though Sheen uses some psychoanalysis that's kind of Freudian to talk about ego, superego, and all that. Basically, he's leading the reader to recognize that for every action we have, there's a consequence, and we suffer the consequences of our sins. They don't lead us to a place of light. And unless we hold ourselves accountable and turn to the Lord, who is merciful, we're not going to have peace of soul. And that spoke right to me. And what he was leading me to was to say to the sacrament of reconciliation. Well, I hadn't been to, for about 6 years, and I was too embarrassed. I thought the priest is going to die if I go, these things we sometimes.
Absolutely. The church is going to fall down if I go and
exactly,
tell the priest.
Exactly. Or actually.
And yeah.
Well, it took a year for that to sink in, and I did go back to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I read the sequel to Peace of Soul by Fulton Sheen called Lift Up Your Hearts, and it gently made me focus on the mercy of God more so than on the sins I had committed. And that was the big step forward that after that sacrament, which is so healing, I began to develop a deeper thirst for studying the Catholic faith, for reading the Bible, and for being involved in the local church that I was it's Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, or in Kennesaw. I was still writing songs, and my songs started to reflect the spiritual journey into Christ that I was taking. When I moved back to Pensacola, about 6 years afterwards, I became very involved in St. Anne's Catholic Church in Gulf Breeze, and a very good friend of mine, Kurt Coleman, came back from a mission trip to Peru. And about 6 months prior to his trip, I was just enthralled by a documentary by Richard Altenborough. Oh, I almost said Richard Altenborough.
That's a priest of our diocese.
Priest of our diocese. Yeah. Anyway, he's the man that did the movie Gandhi, but he did a wonderful documentary on Mother Teresa. My uncle, Father John LeCary, studied with Maronite missionaries, and I'd met priests that were missionaries in other countries, and that also intrigued me as a young boy, what the story of Maronite was. And I felt compelled to go to Peru with my friend Kurt in 1987. He wanted to go back very quickly, and we went down there with another friend of ours, Rick Humphreys, who's the director of Loaves and Fishes Soup Kitchen still to this time. And in that trip was a mind-opening experience to work with a priest called Father Jack Davis and his sister Peggy Byrne in Chimbote, Peru, where there was utter poverty. Our Lady of Perpetual Help is the name of the parish. It was a wonderful experience for me. Turned my life around to realize to get more basic, to see people were suffering, but also to see how the gospel of Christ could bring joy and hope to people.
Absolutely. I guess sharing what you had just received, do you think of this of being struck by your need for repentance and then repenting, receiving God's mercy, and then immediately being moved? And that's kind of, you know, what you're describing here. This is the movement of the gospel. This is when the gospel is proclaimed, convicts our heart of sin, obviously, but but trusting in God's mercy as we turn to him and bring him our sinfulness, he replaces that with his forgiveness and his joy. And then that desire, I want to share this, you know, that missionary zeal that we see in the early church, we see in the lives of every Christian man and woman, and that was at work in your life. That's the movement of the Holy Spirit at work.
It was. And I was aware, but not so aware. You know, I also had 5 years of being aware that perhaps the Lord was calling me to the priesthood, a call which I was aware that it was possible in 1982. So from 1987, I was confirmed of that call by assisting others to work with the poor, and I discovered my own spiritual poverty and the desire to do God's will above all things. The event that did make me focus, it hit me and my friends very much so, was the meeting of a man in Lima who had been struck with polio at the age of 3, and we saw him after our trip in Chimbote, where we were around a lot of people who didn't live with electricity and running water, and they suffered from very, very harsh poverty. We had one day left before we flew back to the United States, and we had some items that we did not use up in Chimbote that were left in Lima. One of them was a wheelchair, and we happened to see this man crawling on his hands and knees with pieces of tire wrapped around his legs, and a dog was barking right at his face, and people were walking right by him on the busy streets of Lima. And we thought maybe we should cross the street and try to help. We had an interpreter with us. Back then we couldn't speak Spanish very well, and we got to the man. He already got the dog out of the way. He had a kind of a stick. And we asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Eduardo." And he told us a little bit of his story. He said, "I had polio since I was 3. I'm coming back from praying at a church. I'm praying. I came down from the mountains to join my family here for the Feast of Miracles." And we said, is it possible that you could use a wheelchair?" And he said, "Yes, I could." So he gave us the address. Later on that night, we found where he was. His family opened the door, very simple house. He was on the floor. A lot of children, family. We brought the wheelchair to him and opened it up, and his family assisted him into the wheelchair, and he looked up and he had this big smile on his face, but then he started to convulse, and I went, "Oh my goodness, we're killing him. What happened?" Maybe he couldn't take the physical movement. He started to weep, and his tears were tears of gratefulness and thanksgiving, and we prayed with him and thanked God for bringing us together. Later on, he showed us how he made a living here under a few cents a day by weaving beautiful tapestries and shirts. And I wrote a song about it coming back, and I'm going to share this song. It's off this CD that I just put out.
Absolutely, off of Come to Life, the new CD that by Father John LeCary, the song Eduardo that we'll play at this time.
Crawls through the streets of Lima each day. Eduardo visits the church where his heart longs to pray. To pray for a miracle that one day he'll stand as straight and as tall as any man. Eduardo, beautiful sweaters he sews by hand. Eduardo, weaving the tapestry God has planned. As the dogs bark at him on the street, shall we pass him by? Or shall we stop and see the Lord in his eyes? shall be comforted. Our Lord hears the cry. Our Lord hears the cry of the poor. Eduardo, I am a broken man. Eduardo, I'm crippled inside, though on two legs I stand. But the gift of loving you has set my heart free. Inside of me, Eduardo, tears of thanksgiving we cried, Eduardo, praising the name of our Lord on high. For our prayers have been answered in Him, and as we go our ways, may His peace and joy be with you for all of your days. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Our Lord hears the cry. Our Lord hears the cry of the Eduardo.
Again, this is we are listening to Eduardo. That is from Father John LeCary's album, Come to Life. When we come back from the break, we're going to listen to some more songs. We're going to hear more about the album, what inspired it with Father LeCary. So please stick with us on what it means to be Catholic.
WCVC would like to thank our sponsor, Sasso Engineering. Sasso Engineering is a professional engineering consulting firm specializing in accident reconstruction and product failure analysis. To view sample cases, visit them at their website, sassoengineering.com. That's S-A-S-S-O engineering.com. Or call them at 850-524-4335. Once again, all of us at WCVC would like to thank Sasso Engineering for their generous support.
We've got a delicious way to support Catholic Radio. Please consider BeHolyHoney.com. Proceeds from the local honey venture go directly to support your Catholic radio station. BeHolyHoney.com offers world-famous Tupelo honey, which is a North Florida specialty, as well as many other wonderful varieties. They also offer handmade soaps, natural beeswax lip balm, beeswax candles, and honey-filled candies. Unlike honey you may find on the grocery store shelf, all of the gourmet honey products from BeHolyHoney.com are pure, raw, and unprocessed, which means they maintain all the natural health benefits that honey offers. At BeHolyHoney.com, you can choose one of their popular gift sets and include your personalized greetings. They will drop ship the order directly to your loved one's mailbox. Please visit them on the web today at www.BeHolyHoney.com. That's B-E-E, HolyHoney.com. And remember, the proceeds of your honey purchases go directly to help keep Catholic Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Karen Jerkowich. I'm a member of Our Lady of the Assumption Catholic Church, and I'm a realtor with Levin and Rinke Resort Realty. I can show and list all properties in Pensacola, but I specialize in the beach, waterfront, and Gulf Breeze. I bring an innate ability to listen to my clients, and it's my goal to consistently exceed the expectations of those whom I serve. My real estate priorities are simple. They're yours. My phone number is 850-384-5767. That's 850-384-5767.
Taking a look at the world from a Catholic perspective. From our studio in Pensacola, you're listening to What It Means to Be Catholic. with your host, Father Michael Nixon.
Welcome back to What It Means to Be Catholic. I'm Father Michael Nixon, joined by my good friend and inspiration, Father John LeCary. Right before the break, we listened to a song, Father John, off your new album, Come to Life. The song is Eduardo, and you were describing the impact of this encounter with this man and this mission trip to Peru that you were able to do. Tell us a little about this CD that's just come out now, Come to Life. What does that mean to you, and what is this project really? What are you trying to say through this project?
Well, for me, I'm trying to give the message out from these songs, which I wrote over a period of several years, that God is merciful, and that He demonstrates this specifically in His plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, through the incarnation, where Jesus comes into the world so vulnerable, and through the redemption, where Jesus gives His life on the cross for us, and the resurrection, where He gives us eternal life. He led the way with that. And the message is for us who are sinners to not be afraid of God, not be afraid of Jesus Christ, who invites us to come to the Lord, to His Father, through acknowledging honestly where we are in our lives, and we are sinners. So we have to, as I had to do and still have to do always, you know, we have to confess our sins. And when we do that and experience that, we truly do get peace of soul and experience a resurrection in our lives. So the CD it's really a 56-minute story, although you can listen to each song separately. See, I'm influenced by Pete Townsend of The Who did these rock operas, Tommy and Quadrophenia. If you listen to the CD all the way through, you might catch the strand that it starts off with the birth of Jesus through the eyes of the Blessed Mother, a song called Carry the World. And then there's songs about people's personal testimonies of how they experienced God's love and how it brought us to life. A lot of this stuff is, music is, in a sense, autobiographical, but it's also stories of other people I've met that had to come to life by grace.
Absolutely.
So we have the stories of resurrection, stories from the scriptures, the song called Prodigal Son, and from the parable, and Jesus' own description of Himself as the Good Shepherd, and the stories of the drama between, as John Paul II said, Blessed John Paul II said, the drama of life is between what we feel God's calling us to be and who we really are. And so those are the more up-tempo songs which express this tension.
So basically you sharing your testimony. I mean, again, I think that's where the gospel really takes on flesh, is where it's proclaimed and you know, we encounter the Lord. And then how is this taking root in my own life, my own
exactly.
encounter with God's mercy and the people that I meet and the ways, mm-hmm. you know, praying with the scripture verse can have such an impact on you. And then to be able to share that through music, I think is a profound gift, because it gives so many other people the same insights, and then they have their own insights, and their lives can be affected by that as well.
Yeah. And so it's my prayer that people will connect this to their hearts, their lives. And then there's songs about mission, being sent forth out, either being aware of the personal call that Jesus gives us, or the call that comes through an experience, like the song Eduardo. It definitely made me look twice about this discernment to the priesthood. So
absolutely. Now I want to listen to another song. We're going to be able to do that. We talked about listening to this song. This is one of my favorite songs from you, and just one of my favorite songs is a meditation on the Lord. Again, we just got through Holy Week and the Triduum, and really focusing on Jesus Christ crucified, now the resurrection. And this song to me, Man on the Cross, really just speaks to me, and is a beautiful meditation on that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want us to give an introduction to this song before we listen to it?
It's a reflection on the great sacrifice that Jesus gave of Himself from the eyes of either somebody who was there at the time it happened, or could be someone who's just hearing the story of Jesus and sees a painting or of Jesus on the cross, being moved by it.
There's a man on a cross, and he's watching the world go by. There's something different about him, how he opened his arms to die. At one time it seemed The crowds are into his dreams, but now he hangs there alone and seems lost, with just a couple of friends at the foot of his cross. There's a man on a cross looking out here at me and you. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, why did he say he was the truth and the way? Now the shepherd who lived for his sheep is given nails for his hands and his feet. The man on the cross. And I want to believe him, for I've never seen such a man do all of the things that he can. And I want to be like him, but I do not know where to start. Oh, somehow he touches my heart. With a peace I have never known before. There's a man on a cross and he's watching the world go by. And in spite of his pain, I can see only love in his eyes. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name. And as he sighs and takes his last breath, somehow I feel it's for me that he goes to his death. The man on the cross. And I want to believe him. He spoke of a kingdom within, of how we could be born again. And I want to be like him, but I do not know where to start. Does it really begin in my heart? And I want to believe him, for I've never seen such a man do all of the things that he can. And I want to be like him, but I do not know where to start. Oh, somehow he touches my heart. With a peace I have never known. There's a man on a cross. There's a man on a cross.
And that's just beautiful meditation there, Father John. Beautiful meditation on our Lord Jesus Christ. And
thank you. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God for that. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God for the man on the cross, for the mercy that we receive. Now, again, this journey that has taken you to this point of being a priest. How long have you been a priest now, Father John?
It'll be going on 10 years this June.
Praise God. Yeah. Going on mm-hmm. a decade of dispensing God's mercy and in the priesthood. And with that, I guess, you know, kind of, again, obviously the music is, it's part of you, but, mm-hmm. you know, your foundational ministry as a priest. When you reflect on the priesthood today and living the priesthood for these past, now again, 9.5, 10 years, what's the one thing that you're struck by, the one message that you're trying to live out, or the thing that moves you the most about the priesthood?
Being able to communicate God's love and mercy to people who maybe feel that bridge is too far for whatever reason, whether they're experiencing psychological, emotional, or physical problems, if they live in poverty. Let's do more than speak about it, though. Let's get active and involved, work for justice, but also do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ, do it with love. People who carry great burdens of regret, to understand the freedom of divine mercy. Saint Faustina's Divine Mercy Diary, I'm big on turning people on to that. The spirituality of understanding oneself through Louis de Montfort's Total Consecration, preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. I enjoy helping people discover that. And the sacraments, dispensing the sacraments and experiencing how they also transform me as I'm sharing them with others. It blows your mind, doesn't
it? It's amazing. It's an amazing grace. And I think, too, just, again, I'll ask you the question. We're about to go to a break. Okay. We are going to be listening to one more song, a little bit more of an up-tempo song in our last segment here. Father John LeCary, if you've never seen him play before live, this man can rock. And it's a pretty amazing thing to see. Your favorite sacrament, Father LeCary?
Oh, my favorite sacrament?
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
Of course, you love them all.
But I mean, I love the Eucharist, but I love, of course, I'm very close to the sacrament of reconciliation, because I know how deep one can get healed from so much and then appreciate the other treasures of the Catholic faith and not be afraid.
Absolutely.
And you come to life. You literally do. That's the message of the CD. Come to life.
Most definitely. And coming to life, I guess, you know, sometimes we settle for kind of a half-hearted Christianity. You know, we settle for mediocrity in our own encounter with God. And I think it's beautiful, this reminder, especially this, we have 50 days of the season of the resurrection, where we are called mm-hmm. to come to life, where we're called to live the fullness of life and joy that God invites us into.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be back with Father John LeCary, talking some more about his CD and God's mercy at work in our lives, and how it can be a source of transformation and peace for each one of you. God bless.
Divine Word Radio would like to thank Steve Bogan for his support of Catholic Radio. Steve Bogan, a commercial realtor and a member of St. Anne Catholic Church, Gulf Breeze, Florida, works specifically with commercial real estate property in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Steve Bogan is a licensed commercial realtor and specializes in commercial buildings and commercial parcels of land. Steve Bogan's number is 850-380-9476. That's 850-380-9476.
Do you have an unwanted car, truck, RV, motorcycle, or boat sitting in your driveway taking up parking space? Well, you can now donate that vehicle to Divine Word Communications. We'll make all the arrangements for the pickup, repair, and sale of your vehicle. You'll receive a tax deduction for your donation. What could be easier? All you have to do is call us at 1-866-628-2277. 1-866-628-CARS. A customer service representative will answer all your questions and arrange to pick up your car within 2 to 4 business days. Call 1-866-628-2277. 1-866-628-CARS. What could be easier? This is an opportunity for you to continue to support Catholic Radio with Divine Word Radio by calling 1-866-628-2277. That's 1-866-628-CARS. Clean out the driveway and support Catholic Radio. Divine Word Radio wishes to thank Vince Wibbs Automotive Group for their longtime support of Catholic Radio. Beginning over 50 years ago, Vince Wibbs brought his unique brand of values to the sale of Cadillacs, Buicks, and GMC products. His son Mark and their wonderful staff at Vince Wibbs Automotive Group carry on that tradition. They are authorized to handle Saturn warranty and repair. Vince Wibbs Automotive Group in Carr City, Pensacola. Their telephone number is 850-637-8982, and their website is vincewibbs.com.
Taking a look at the world from a Catholic perspective. From our studio in Pensacola,
You're listening to What It Means to Be Catholic with your host, Father Michael Nixon.
Welcome back to What It Means to Be Catholic. This is Father Michael Nixon, joined by Father John LeCary, a music artist. We've been enjoying some music off of his new album, Come to Life. Now, where can people buy this album, Father LeCary?
You can go on the internet and order it off of CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes. There's also a video that was recently done of the song Man on a Cross by Tony Tarnock. He works, his company's called Woodsong Enterprises, and there's information, more information about where the CD can be purchased. And that's the main thing, I think, for people listening. It's a couple, selling at a couple of different churches, St. Anne's in Bellevue, Nativity in Pensacola, St. Mary's in Fort Walton Beach, but mainly House of St. Joseph in Fort Walton, or Mary Esther. Online is where I think you can
excellent,
go.
Excellent. You go on iTunes, on Amazon, and CD Baby, and check this out. Now, we got a funny story, I think, with this this song that we're going to play here in a little bit, One Step Forward. Again, One Step Forward is basically you're stepping out in your vocational discernment, right?
It's stepping out in having the courage to go where Jesus calls you after one has repented and not being afraid. And you have a story to tell.
I know. Well, I first met Father John LeCary when I was a high schooler at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Tallahassee, Florida. And Father LeCary, you were a seminarian at the time.
Yeah,
and you were doing a summer internship at Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sharing his story, his testimony, talking about God calling him to take one step forward. And you had this point in your story where you kind of look up to the heavens and just, you know, cry out to God, what do you want of me, or something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, you just Jesus is saying, you know, take one step forward and don't look back. You know, so you're just trying to follow his call, and something happened during the telling of that story.
As Father John, or then seminarian John LeCary, you know, cries out to the heavens, you know, that God is calling him to step out and follow him and trust in him. I'm sitting there, you know, just a regular high schooler. I was actually next to my girlfriend at the time, and something fell from the heavens on me. There was some sort of giant paper mache construction in the social hall there at Good Shepherd Church, and just out of nowhere, it came detached from the ceiling and fell right on me. And I was like, "Is God saying something to me here?" Because it sure felt like it.
Well,
I don't know if you arranged that, if you somehow timed that.
Yeah, because this is true confessions. Now, actually, I had a scissor that cut the string that let the paper mache fall on your head. No, just kidding.
But definitely an amazing moment and a great song too. A great reflection. Again, God invites us. He calls us in our vocation and saying yes to Him wherever He calls us. That's where we truly become alive. That's where we truly become who we were made to be. So God doesn't call us to a life of misery or a life of just, you know, some sort of negative, cold sacrifice. He calls us to the fullness of life. And I think that, you know, living the priesthood, living wherever God calls us, our vocations, where we really encounter mm-hmm. that and live mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, it's an invitation, really, also to the sacrament of reconciliation. Take one step forward and don't look back.
Absolutely. So at this time, we're going to listen to One Step Forward off of Father John LeCary's new album, Come to Life.
I've done that I long to forget, and memories that my heart needs to forgive. For I let my sorrow lock me in a prison with my sins. Now I hear the Master's voice say, let me in. It's time to take one step forward. Take one step forward. And He wants to take my hand. My frightened heart says no, but He says, yes, you can. Take one step forward and don't look back. I remember as a child getting lost in the woods with no idea of how to get back. Try. I seemed much braver then than I do now. It's time to take one step forward. Take one step forward and don't look back. He is walking on the water.
and he wants to take my hand. My frightened heart says no, but he says, yes, you can. Take one step forward and don't look
God calls us out, takes us to take that one step forward, and really, mm-hmm. it's about trusting in Him, trusting in Him, and that He's going to be there. He's not going to let us fall.
Absolutely, when we focus on Christ and keep our eyes on Him, He'll help us get over our fears to do whatever He's calling us to do. Blessed John Paul II said, "Be not afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ, and it's a great invitation."
Absolutely, and with that too. Now you've been a priest now going on 10 years. How long have you been a pastor now at St. Anne's in Bellevue?
I've been a pastor going on 4 years. And prior to that, I was at Nativity for 4 years. I was director of Catholic Campus Ministries over there. And my first assignment was at St. Mary's in Fort Walton Beach. And so I've been enjoying the joys and the challenges of saying yes to the Lord in this vocation.
Absolutely. And so it's amazing to me how he calls us forward into something, and it's not always with this kind of some sort of security that, like, oh, you're definitely going to know what to do or answer all the questions. It's will you trust me? Will you trust me here? And that's where God he's consistent, and that he's going to be with us wherever He calls us to be. And that's the grace that we trust in.
Mm-hmm, He will. And we must accept that the cross is going to be part of that journey. We shouldn't get discouraged nor fear it. And God's will place wonderful people along the way to get us from point A to point B. I mean, in my life, I can name a lot of priests and nuns in my family, Monsignor Luke Hunt, Father Slade Crawford, the awesome Slade, great vocations director during my time and yours.
Absolutely.
And also great examples to follow. Blessed Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict, the saints. The Blessed Mother is big too in this journey to come close to Christ. So I feel like somebody that's at the awards trying to mention, thank everybody, and only have 2 minutes, but I'll stop here.
They're going to start playing that music for us pretty soon, that outro music, literally. But I think that's part of the joy, too, of our faith, of our Catholic faith, is that with the saints, this great cloud of witnesses, as the letter to the Hebrews calls them, that we see that it's possible, that when we trust in God, that God is faithful. And just the beauty of those lives that have turned themselves over to Him, that have trusted Him, surrendered everything to Him, to see a life transformed, that it is a beautiful, beautiful gift. Again, we're with Father John LeCary, and we're just celebrating your priesthood and saying thank you for your yes to God, and also for this new album that's just come out, Come to Life by Father John LeCary. I love that on the back here as part of the dedication, Father LeCary has written, for prodigal sons and daughters yet to be found by the Good Shepherd. Your brother was dead and he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Again, that message of mercy, which is throughout this album, which you can get on Amazon, you can get on iTunes, on CD Baby, and various Catholic bookstores and parishes here in Pensacola. And it's just a tremendous meditation on God's mercy and on your witness to the power of the gospel at work in your life.
Yeah, thank you. It took a while to get it done. I was encouraged for many years, even when I was at the seminary, Notre Dame Seminary is where I went to, and... But, you know, I just the timing was right for when this happened now. So I'm just glad to be able to have done it now and now to share it.
Absolutely. Now with that, again, our ministry as priests takes us in a lot of different directions. In a single day, we often said, as a priest, you can see, you know, the joys of life's beginnings and the very end of life as well. So the highs and lows in a single day. And so we are called in the midst of that to bring Christ. And that's for everybody, every person, wherever you are, who's listening to this, to recognize that God loves you and his mercy is everlasting. He wants you to share in that mercy through the great sacrament of reconciliation, through the sacraments of the church. And for you to be able to share that message with other people, your witness, your testimony is so important and so powerful, whether it's through your music or through your art or through just conversation or being present to other people. Whatever your gifts, God, when we hand them over to God, He uses them and multiplies them in amazing ways.
Yes, He does. Mm-hmm. And glad to use them. Don't be afraid to use your gifts. And that's my message to the young as well. When we get closer to Christ, we discover who we are and who God's calling us to be.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a real pleasure, Father John LeCary, having you here on the show. Make sure you check out his CD, Come to Life. And just to live the gospel and to experience God's mercy wherever you are. We ask that Almighty God bless you and your families this day. And we'll see you next week.